And this ranger man will bring it over so we can capture it for later. So I do want to thank you for coming. I knew when I did this session, I'd love to get two SEO sessions. For some reason, people care about that. But I think this session is going to be a lot more interesting. So you guys, you're all smart. You're in the right place. So let me introduce our panelists. I'm going to do just a quick introduction for each of them, then I'll let them talk about their businesses. Before we do that, because I always forget to do this, talk about who I am. My name is Jake. By trade, I'm the director of client services at a company called Beamer Consulting in Providence. I've been doing web development for over 10 years. Dozens of implementations. I write for Smashing Magazine. Built 9 plugins, and you can hear me say unimportant things on Twitter, or check out my personal website, 3Merkerless Things. Enough about me. Let's get to people that are interesting. Amy Katz, who's on the end there, is the CEO and that's the right term, and co-founder of a company called Nine Lives Media Inc. They're online media companies built on WordPress by very focused properties starting at the beginning of 2008. Before working on the WordPress, Amy, you did advertising and traditional PR. And one of you sort of just briefly give us the, tell us what your business does, what the business model is, how you make money, and sort of in the quick version, and what stage your company is at.
Sure. So Nine Lives Media Inc. was founded, we incorporated in January of 2008. Myself and my business partner, who's our editorial director and really the technology guy behind the business, started the company. We are an online media company. We focus specifically on niche technology markets, including the IT channel, managed services, and open source. As Jake mentioned, we have 5 current media platforms right now: MSP Mentor, The Bar Guy, Works With You, MSP Tweet, and Bar Tweet. We make our money by selling advertising and sponsorship. Our business is literally built on WordPress, so all 5 of our sites are built on WordPress. I'm sure we'll talk about this more, but we have a fabulous development team right in the back of the room, Content Robot, who kind of has taken all of our vision for what we wanted our site to be and made it a reality. So.
And your business model is ads?
Our business model is ad space and sponsorship.
All right, I'm going to move down the line here. Juliet DeVries is the co-founder of a company called Odyssey Guys Media here in Boston. She's worked for clients in the past like NetZero, NBC, ESPN. The list goes on. When I met her, she proudly declared that she doesn't know how to code, but knows how to communicate with those among us that can't, which that's talent. Likewise, I want to hear from you talk about Odyssey Guys, introduce your business model, what stage company you are at.
Sure. So Odyssey Guys, we create podcasts and iPhone apps that allow you to tour cities, museums, do their audio video tours. Our business model is these destinations, museums and cities commission us to produce these audio video tours of their sites and their locations, and they're then given away for free to the public. So they're available on iTunes, and all museums are cities as well. We were founded in 2006, and we switched to WordPress just about a year ago. I don't know if that's enough for now.
And your monetization strategy is basically to use your website to sell interesting guys.
It's really interesting. Our website is actually telling people who we are. And we have 2 websites that are both built on WordPress. So this one, which is odysseyguys.com, where users, end users, can go to download these tours. And there's, at the podcast feed, they're there. We also have odysseymedium.com, which is our potential client. So much of our goods to cities and museums and what we're doing for them there, which is just more of a marketing tool for them. But both of these sites are very much telling people who we are. They're not, we don't monetize ourselves through the site.
Right, and last but certainly not least, all the way from the UK, we've got Joby Bloom here. He's a senior consultant for a UK-based presentation design company called M62 Visual Communications. We're like Mo job is where they are as a company.
Okay. We're a small business company, about up and running a few years now. We sell business to business. So typical engagement for us might be anywhere from a few thousand dollars up to hundreds of thousands for a company that maybe had hundreds and hundreds of salespeople on the road wanting to be trained in delivering visual PowerPoint presentations. The challenge for us is how do we separate the lead from the chat? We've got kind of a ton of traffic, and in there there's the senior VP of marketing for a company with a huge budget and a lot of salespeople. How can we find them? We had a static site. About 2 years ago, we sort of thought, let's make a website that has a bit more useful content, get some people to it. That will allow us to have kind of 10 pages of online brochure. We started building this kind of huge monster thing. It kind of grew and grew and grew, but it was static HTML. Every update was massive. It had eight errors all over the place. We did a bit of work with a local company who were trying to build something on a proprietary CMS, not a good one. We never even used it. We just kind of chucked it away. Made a decision to move on to WordPress in June. A year ago, let's say November last year, we maybe had about 2,000 visitors in a month to the site. Just before we switched over to WordPress, we've got it up to about, I think something like 5,000. And in November, with SEO built into our WordPress installation and some nice decisions and good development, we're at about something like 22,000 visitors in a month. In December, we closed about $170,000 of new business. Some people who found us via our website engaged with us over the web at first and signed up to work with us. So we've had a good payback already.
And your business model is to sell services, and you use WordPress as the gate, as I believe one of your primary gateways to generate leads and generate addresses.
Yeah, so our website is this way we try to create a position for the company as thought leaders in presentations. That means a lot of our traffic is kind of of no use to us. It's kind of students or people with just kind of interest in presentations. But in amongst those people, we're looking for key people and we want to sell to them. So it's lead generation.
All right, great. So that's our panelists. And I want to sort of start getting into some of the more specific questions about the process. I want to start by talking about, and then kind of want to go from the process to where you are now, where you think WordPress is going. We're going to talk, I think, towards the end about places where they think WordPress could use improvement, areas where they don't think it's there yet. I really want to cover the gambit. To start off with, tell me about, some of you already spoke to a little bit, but elaborate on the process making that decision. Was there a decision to use WordPress? Was it natural? What went into that process? Why don't we start?
Sure. So I've been in the media business, the traditional media business, untraditional online, print, everything for over 15 years. When we decided to launch 9 Live Media, we knew that traditional media for the technology space was really going away and that it was really important to move to an online platform. What we needed to decide was, did we want to build a social network or did we want to build a social blog? And, we really felt that the blog platform was more appropriate for what we were trying to do and the kind of messaging we were looking to get out. So we tested many free blogging platforms. We tested Ning. We looked across the board. But we just really found, number one, that WordPress as a platform was most well-suited to our business. And secondly, we found a development team that combined the technical experience and that creative know-how and that design expertise to really make the vision come to life for us for all our sites. So,
if I can ask you to quickly gauge on sort of a scale of 1 to 10, how hard was the decision to work for? Was it really easy? Was it a struggle?
No, it definitely wasn't a struggle. I think, we tested out several blogging platforms. It seemed because of WordPress, because we interviewed several different development teams. We wanted something that looked different and special and had a lot of kind of bells and whistles, if you will. And the fact that WordPress has so many, it's such a big universe. So there are so many things that you can kind of pick and choose from and put together in terms of plugins and widgets. And yeah, it was fairly easy.
How about you, Juliet? How easy was the decision and how long did it take to make?
Well, it's interesting. We had a webcomp that was in our development design from the beginning, and they built our original site in Ruby on Rails typo. And this was like way back in the day before people were using content management systems for websites. And we would tell people, oh yeah, we can update all of our stuff, and then they'd be like, what? So it was really cool at first, but there were no updates. So after like 2 years, there were just horrible bugs, and it was driving me crazy. And so I actually asked our web developer, can you rebuild the site in WordPress? And he was like, no, WordPress isn't fast enough. It just doesn't do the good thing to do. So we stuck with it for a while. And finally, I was like, no, I really, really want this. And he wouldn't do it. So I went out and looked for somebody that would. This is a good story. I Googled WordPress customization, WordPress DM. And I wanted it to be somebody who could just run with it. I didn't want to take time to improve. I wanted the exact same icon the way it looks externally. I just wanted the back end to be different. And wanted to be able to take advantage of all the plugins and all the potential that was out there. So one of the things that responded to my crazy information request on random sites was like, yeah, I can do this for you. And he was basically like, send me this, this, and this, and I'll give it a shot and tell me if you like it. And like 3 days later, he's been doing this test site, and it's exactly like our site, but it's all built in WordPress, and it's beautiful. So I'm like, yay, okay.
you really pushed for WordPress.
I really pushed for it.
It sounds like, Amy, in some ways, you were influenced by developers as much as your own.
Definitely.
How about you, Joey? How hard did you push for it?
We knew we wanted to move to a CMS, and I didn't want to move to a proprietary CMS, probably because we had this kind of completely stupid experience with people who built up something that they then wouldn't fix quickly enough. And I just realized one of the things 100% we wanted to avoid was vendor lock-in. If you get into that situation where only one person can do anything for you, you just do that. So I absolutely wanted to avoid that. Then, though, I mean, we weren't looking to build something that looked like a blog. I mean, our site doesn't look like a blog. In fact, the quirky thing is what I wanted to do is our exposure to WordPress had been that our CEO had a blog. What I wanted to do was boot his blog off our website because it was kind of rubbish, but build everything else in WordPress because WordPress looked quite good. It was quite fun booting his blog off the website. It shouldn't endear me to him, but it's a year or so on and he's starting to figure. I spent a lot of time just trying to work out for myself, can WordPress do what we need it to do? The problem is, I had no idea. So our in-house, semi-in-house kind of designer, I'm basically a PowerPoint designer who just used some CSS. So I just sort of gave it a shot. We knew it was going to be kind of either WordPress or Joomla or Drupal. We'd used WordPress and so we sort of thought, well, let's go for it. But every article you ever read on WordPress as a CMS in the comments, there are like 20 or 30 people saying, dude, why are you using WordPress as a CMS? It's blog, use Joomla. And it becomes really, you get quite nervous about whether it's going to work.
Let's talk about the how does it work. I know that one of the things startups always getting picked up. And one of the things startups always often have to deal with what's version 1.0. And sometimes you have to make compromises. Sometimes you get surprised and even at the park. How did version 1.0 of your WordPress sites compare to your vision when we started the end of this?
So from a visual standpoint and from the ability to do the things we wanted to do, it really worked well. We had a very, very clear vision, a wireframe of exactly what we wanted each of our media sites to look like, function like, what we wanted in terms of widgets, all of those things. And so it all came together. I think the biggest hurdle probably that we had and continue to have, sometimes less than that, is with traffic. So, we've done Supercache and that works, but we had the Supercache caching our ads, which was a problem. So From that perspective, that's probably been, you know, one of the bigger challenges. But in terms of our initial vision and it coming to life, it really worked well, and it worked really quickly. I think within a month of, you know, our start, we had a live, and we had two live working media sites that were really fulfilled the mission.
How about hugely? I know you said you were blown away by your first WordPress implementation. Was that your version 1.0?
That was, and the thing very similar. It visually loved the way it looked. One thing we found in Lebanon was having this very kind of remote relationship with the person who had done our initial launch for us was we needed somebody who looked at our business and understood our business and said, okay, actually, did you know there's this plugin that can do this? Or you're, you know, manually going in and doing this, you can do it so much easier doing this and this. So what we found out was having somebody that understood our business and building that relationship really helped us take advantage of what WordPress could do for us on a much deeper level.
Now, did any of you, I know we've told this story a little bit, did any of you try to sort of bootstrap it on your own before going for help?
Jake built our website, right? But the very first time that we actually went outside, we thought we were going to be able to do this for ourselves. We were trying to get a certain thing working, like good. I kind of reached out to people like Teradoc, so, you know, kind of, we kind of superstars of the WordPress world, like, oh, I, you know, without even knowing that these people were superstars of the WordPress world, because who knows, ended up posting something on WordPress before. There's just this one little thing we can't fix, and someone fix it. It's, you know, just a query that we need to build. Got an email, the first email, actually, that I got back, and you get a lot of emails back, which is, you know, sort of vendor lock-in thing, from Chris. Who works with Jake, just saying, you know, we can do that for probably 2 hours at a certain rate per hour. We're like, great. And, you know, kind of 6 months later, and this is the first time I'm like, yeah. And so we did try to do it for ourselves, partly because we thought we could, but also because we didn't want to be in that situation where a developer owns our website and we don't have enough of a handle on what goes on, that then we're kind of always a bit kind of stuck. We're very, very satisfied with the relationship we have, but I do like to think that if we became dissatisfied, we could lose. And that's important to us. So, and you need a certain amount of expertise and a certain handle on what you're doing to be able to lose that relationship.
So moving on from sort of version 1.0, the next step is how do I iterate? You know, how do I cost effectively iterate a site? As you've been iterating, and so all of you made improvements under version 1.0, right? So as you've been going through this iteration process, have you found it effective to sort of take on, let's build version 2.0 now, map that up? Has it been effective to say, we'll sort of add incremental features and pay developers to add incrementally? Julia, I wanted to start with you.
Sure. Yeah, that's exactly the direction we've headed. When we first got it out there, it was very kind of one-dimensional. And then as we built a relationship with somebody who understood our business, they really helped us plug into things we could do. A lot of it was, again, the back end, just things we could do to simplify our lives. I think our business is a little bit different because we're not content generators where, you know, there's posts and blogs and multiple things every day. We mostly use it for information and podcast feeds. So the podcast feeds and that whole hosting, the files and streaming and dealing with all that was a huge headache, and that was probably the biggest thing that we got figured out, which was automating all of our podcast feeds and getting it all plugged in so that it's super simple. We're going to one place, it goes to iTunes, it goes to Google Help Podcast Directories, and it's awesome. Huge time saver for us.
We started with a very simple WordPress theme when we started our business for the first 3 or 4 months, just to make sure that we had a business. We didn't want to go forth and build fancy, expensive sites and not be able to support them through advertising. So we needed to make sure we had a business first. In terms of iterations, every single week we're testing anywhere between 5 to 7 new plugins. We've got about 50 plugins working on our site. Yes, we change our site constantly because they're daily, they're content sites, so people are coming to them daily. We have a handle in the great majority of that over an 11-month time frame, And then at the end of every year, we do a pretty major upgrade where we change ad spaces, we do some big changes on widgets, we may change our databases, et cetera. And that's when we really pull in our development team to do the great majority of that, because that's outside of our scope.
We sort of started off with about 50 plugins when we're trying to do it ourselves, and we're down to about two now that Jake has kind of rewritten them all in about one line of PHP and made the code work so fast. It made the code work so fast that it's kind of silly. So we're always trying to, I mean, we've had very good returns from our website. I mean, I think it was a kind of thing, you know, the company was there, the website is there to bring in business. It wasn't that the website is the business for us. But it is very complicated trying to do business-to-business marketing and sales, because you just don't know where to find these people and so on. So we've been pushing, we think, pushing some sort of boundaries with WordPress. So in the next version, we're about to launch it. Jake's organizing WordCamp, which hopefully will happen soon. We're going to have a pretty full integration with something called Marketo, which kind of is a layer that sits on top of Salesforce.com. So basically, we're spying, kind of crazy kind of spying on people visiting our website. And sort of
after we handle, go to n62.net.
And you won't see any of these new features because they're not on So we're always kind of pushing it then. We're now suddenly put more things and more things. And that, you know, it's just about, as long as this is paying for itself, then we're going to chuck the money at it because we're getting a good return. At the point where incremental improvement isn't giving us any return, we're obviously going to stop.
So, you know, in the original, I like to tell people, and I tell the story of this panel, that in its original inception, we had called this panel Outside of the Bubble. The idea was that we're going to get people that don't normally come to WordCamp. Like, have any of you been to a WordCamp or a WordPress event before? And we're hopefully going to get some people that, as I would say, haven't, you know, drank the Kool-Aid yet. As much as we've been praising WordPress, but one of the things I'd like to get a sense of is some criticism. I'm hoping, guys, and I'm not going to have the full teeth to get these answers, but surely along this process, there's been something you just thought WordPress could do this better, or I wish WordPress had X for Drupal, or I wish developers would focus more attention in this direction. Can we sort of go down the line and talk about what was not right with WordPress?
So we've had two specific challenges. One that we hit several times. So on certain plugins, they tend to query our databases thousands and thousands and thousands of times. And so they either slow our site or crash our site. And then we have to pull those plugins. So that's been a huge challenge for us because we do a lot of searches. It's all content. You know, we're trying to provide our readers with the things they're asking for, but the plugins don't necessarily work in the way we would like. And then our other challenge, quite frankly, is with advertising. We use OpenX, which is an advertising platform that generally works very well with WordPress, but we've had a year full of issues trying to make a peel back ad work on our site. It's working, finally. But flash advertising has been a challenge, and so, you know, we could find a better model for that. That would be fabulous.
For advertising.
Yes, for advertising, for OpenX integrating a little bit better with WordPress, for WordPress housing Flash ads on top of Flash ads a little bit better.
So you wouldn't be commercial plugin developers.
Yeah.
And then the other one was, talk about plugins, the other one was you struggled with sort of being able to tell what's a good plugin, what's a bad plugin.
Yeah, in some ways it's what's a good plugin, what's a bad plugin. You know, it's really what plugin is not going to crash
right
the site and do what we need it to do.
Why don't we keep going?
So I think our kind of the downside for us would be that it's just more about the WordPress universe, which is there are so many plugins out there and so many different versions of plugins that do the same thing. So just navigating through all of that can be a big challenge. And, you know, it's kind of this curse end of blessing. It's great because that's one of the reasons we went with it, because it is so robust in that way. But it's hard to know exactly what's right for us. And, you know, for example, I know there's still probably plugins that would still make our lives easier. And just because I don't know that much about it and don't have time to constantly be researching it and looking into it, we don't use it. So, just being able to filter through.
Again, sort of the custodial community doing a better job breaking out with that.
Yeah.
Are both of you familiar with the effort by Automattic to try to introduce this notion of core or canonical plugins? I don't want to turn this into a plug-in session, but one of the things they're working on is this notion of highlighting some of the best plugins and bringing attention to that. I think it's interesting because that's again, meaning on a positive note, they're sort of thinking of this. Mm-hmm.
I guess I have a different take, because we sort of took, once we actually got going, a different road in terms of development. I mean, we spent reasonable money on paying somebody to do everything for us. So I've never installed a plugin. When Jake kind of came on and looked at the plugins we had installed, he did tell us our site was wide open because he hacked and anyone could kind of do anything they wanted in about 2 seconds. But I haven't installed them, I didn't uninstall them. So on that level, on that kind of, I've used WordPress kind of as the editor, person kind of creating content, and people in my team are creating content. And the kind of gripes there are just kind of really small little things that are probably just because I don't know what I'm doing. At a higher level than that, at a kind of strategic level, I think the WordPress community kind of assumes that everybody's in the community. The showcases are either, this is CNN using WordPress, here's a kind of some great big museum using WordPress, and here will be superstars of WordPress who everybody's heard of, and oh, it's Matt, and who's Matt? I don't know. That kind of a thing. Where from the outside, it's just a small business owner, small business executive trying to make decisions. I just wanted to know, would this work as a CNN? How hard would it be? What's it going to cost? And that kind of information is actually quite hard to find. I spent a lot of time just trying to dig that kind of stuff out for myself, and I don't know anything about it. So I kind of feel like we made the right choice, and there aren't that many problems with WordPress. But the community assumes too much from those on the outside, in my mind.
And visual editors,
very
crazy.
Talk more about that. I think that's interesting, I think. What doesn't work in a visual editor for you?
Every time I click into it, it breaks stuff. So everything has to be a code, and I don't write the code, so I have to, like, if I have to go in and change something after it's been done,
that actually was what I was going to bring up, is in the visual editor, there are plenty, it's pretty much, if you have any kind of script in the HTML that you've copied by hand, visual editor will blast it and you go into the visual editor. And so if I've got, you know, live stream inserts or whatever, there are certain pages that just know I just have to be open the file source to get them. That tool, but it seems like it should be smarter about knowing how to use.
So the editor is, have you found the same thing, maybe? Is the editor going to struggle for you?
I don't know.
I know there are some pages I'm not allowed to touch.
Right.
If you touch that one, it's gonna. If you touch that one, it's gonna break. These ones you're okay.
All these things. Yeah, I think that's interesting. Have people tried solutions for that, plugins? Is it that it doesn't do enough? Is that you don't have enough control?
You use the visual editor.
Yeah, the editor.
I don't know. It's just that if I literally click on the visual editor tab on some of the pages, it'll break. And again, I mean, we just have to start working with somebody new, which, like, it's because you're manually inserting everything. If you use this and this, you can take care of that. So, hopefully, we're working through it.
Let's fast forward a little bit. I want to go to some of these other topics, business related. So, one of the biggest things that we say we love about WordPress that we talk about is the notion of open source and general public license. What does that mean? The open source, we talk about in the community, again, this Kool-Aid, you know, drinking community, about how it's the most wonderful thing. Does it matter to you? What does open source mean to you as business leaders?
If there was no open source, WordPress was not open source, we wouldn't have a business. We chose WordPress and we chose open source because our business is fully self-funded and we couldn't afford, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars for a proprietary backbone for our business and full-time IT folks to run that. So open source is priceless to us.
So for you, it's a matter of licensing cost.
Yeah.
The benefit. How about you, Juliet?
You know, I think the scope of I guess it being open source that people will build, can the whole world can build whatever they want on top of it, has made it really cool. And philosophically, I like the idea of it. Besides that, I mean,
if WordPress was announced tomorrow they're closing the source, would it change your strategy?
Not immediately, but probably down the road, yeah. One thing I like is that I feel like it evolves with us and our industry, and as new technologies come out, there's going to be plugins that we can take advantage of, and it evolves and evolves with it.
To me, whether WordPress is open source or no business really the issue. The issue for us, if there is a community of developers, is it maintained? Is there an obvious upgrade path? And is there an API which makes it kind of flexible and extensible? Now, the fact is that if it wasn't open source, it might not be those things, but Salesforce.com, for example, isn't open source, but we use it. We've invested a heck of a lot of time and effort into making WordPress and Salesforce talk to each other in sophisticated ways. And, one of those is open source, one isn't. I guess because there are open source CMS web content platforms, if WordPress all of a sudden charged and Drupal didn't, then Drupal's going to pick up momentum and that would be the way to go. But at this stage, they could charge us a lot of money every month and we'll pay it because moving would be way too annoying.
Interesting. So for you, open source is really about fostering a community.
So open source is kind of irrelevant. It's just, are there enough developers? To me, the biggest thing is, and don't take it the wrong way, but if Jake were to buy a bus today, would someone else be able to take over? Because if the answer was no, then we've made a really bad strategic decision. But I think the answer is yes, although don't anyone tell me.
We're not going to answer that question, but
I
wonder more.
I have to agree with that from the perspective of the development community and WordPress, because it is a community and because there are so many options out there. As long as the development community continues to be there and support WordPress and continues to upgrade and move with technology at the right pace, it works. But if the entire development community finds a new shiny platform and moves over there and WordPress isn't continuing to evolve, then,
I want to pick up on something you said before and something Jovi said, which is if we're going to talk sort of small businesses and how small businesses make money, if I had to force you to quantify the value of WordPress, what would you pay? What would be the threshold for you if I told you had to start licensing WordPress? Would you pay nothing for it? You simply switch platforms? Would you pay $1,000 a month in licensing? Could you quantify for us the value of WordPress?
I'm not going to sit up here and offer to kill our margins, so.
The answer is you don't want to pay for licensing, no matter what.
No, it really doesn't want to tell anyone how much.
Not what I would pay for it.
I mean, I think it's more from a value perspective.
It's priceless for us. Yeah. WordPress is the backbone for our business.
Okay.
So it's extremely important to us.
All right. So I want to open up in a minute to the audience. I have a few questions we can come back to at the end. But I do want to ask sort of one more question about the future. Now we've talked about where you are now, where the community is, how you got here. If you think about where your business will be in 3 years, the forecasting out where you want your business to be. I guess the question is two-part. Do you see WordPress as it is now as enabling that vision of where you want to be in 3 to 5 years? And I guess the second part of that question is, if it's not, or if you're wondering, do you see from what your developers tell you, from what you read, is WordPress moving in the right direction?
So I partially answered this before. I think the answer is, for us, as long as the development community continues to evolve with technology and continues to support what works for us, I don't see any reason why we would take our business to a different platform. So 3 to 5 years, as long as, you know, things continue moving the way they are, absolutely, I think we'll continue to be on WordPress. It works really well for us.
Yeah, I would say the same thing. I think we've already seen it evolve in some great ways that are, you know, I feel like a lot of times we're behind the fact that one of the great aspects of being open source is that sometimes we're like, oh, cool, this is out there, we should be doing that, instead of saying, I wish there was something that did this. And I see, it seems like it will continue to do that, and that's exciting.
Thinking into the future, a few years, pretty much all the growth that we hope to get is built around a marketing effort that's going into our website. We've kind of never really had a great marketing function before, and a website that enables us to kind of to really extend our reach, signing up customers in countries we've never been in before, which is really good. And WordPress is really integral to that. I guess the only thing is you kind of don't know what isn't going to work going out into the future. So, you know, it kind of, everything seems okay now, everything we can think of now WordPress is kind of doing or about to do, but you don't kind of know what the next big thing is that WordPress might drop the ball on. But certainly for us, I mean, it's a bit like a relationship. You know, you invest enough in it, you're going to forgive a few problems before you leave.
Great. I'd like to, we still have about a little under 10 minutes. I'd like to open up to the audience with some other perspectives or questions for our panelists.
I really want to thank you for having this. I've been on the fence for over 2 years, going from WordPress to Google and the general background on Daniel. So I'd like to ask if what I did do is kind of upgrade my data work out. I do believe that this is the development that the web has been going to. But I would like to know if any of you can model an engine for Google before the summer.
Any other platforms you've tried?
Neither of those. No.
Have any work with you outside your current business other than any of the major platforms?
We definitely work partners who have been in both on both Drupal and Joomla, and when we asked a bunch of people, colleagues and partners and stuff, here's what we need it to do, and almost everybody told us WordPress does enough and it's easy to use and easy to customize. So there's enough for us. But yeah, we just ask people and doctor want to do it in their experience.
I still don't know how one is meant to make. I was in the exact same situation for so long and just was really fed up with Dreamweaver because it's just no way to live, you know, trying to have to remember every single little thing you have to change and keep everything in sync. But even now, I don't know how you're meant to make that decision. The only thing I would say is having just kind of fun, you're better off making any decision and just investing in it. And those WordPress and it does feel in the kind of 6-7 months we've been on WordPress that there is momentum. I mean, if you know, if you have to, not that I know, and yes, I'm from the outside of all of this, but living kind of as a sort of an interested person, you would definitely say that, you know, WordPress is going places and certainly haven't regretted the decision in any way.
Other questions?
I just wanted to know if you were going to the server again, what would you be doing differently?
Great question.
Speaking from Nine Lives perspective, I definitely would go to WordPress again. It's worked great. We have a site, we have six sites, including our corporate site, running on WordPress. And we're constantly upgrading and we're constantly adding and changing. And it worked great, so no regrets there.
There's a bit of chicken and egg, but I think until we involved a developer, we didn't 100% know what we could do, which meant our roadmap was kind of fuzzy. Having said that, without kind of trying to get as far as you can without involving a developer, you sort of lose ownership. So I think we probably wasted money. I mean, if we'd have planned things out further ahead, we wouldn't have made certain sort of decisions. So for, some of those were kind of outside my control, and, you know, everyone has experienced kind of COO walking in and saying, we're signing up for this. And, you know, so we had done, for example, a load of integration work directly into Salesforce, WordPress to Salesforce, and then a COO said, oh, I've signed us up for Marketo, now what you, and so what that meant was Marketo integrates into Salesforce, and we did integrate into Marketo, which meant we chopped away a heck of a lot of good work. So maybe with a bit more kind of planning, we would have got things done in a slightly better way. But to a certain extent, that kind of quick and dirty approach, you do get a kind of, you get a lot of iterations. Maybe you waste some time, but it does work well.
Juliet,
please.
No regrets. Would absolutely go with WordPress again, and yeah, if I started another site again tomorrow, I would absolutely start with that. But I work with somebody who knows what they're doing. I think that's a huge, but, you know, if I had to do it over again, I'd immediately go to somebody who took the time to get to know my business, thoroughly understands WordPress, that's exactly what they do, and work with them for a little bit.
Any other, maybe one more question before we wrap.
What kind of on-staff ministers for Google's
In terms of the technology,
in terms of just, you know, when you need to get things done, you go outside now?
Sometimes we do. We have, my business partner is getting more technologically savvy, I think, over the years. So he does a lot of the minor fixes and the plug-in tech, et cetera, but we do have a development team, content robot over here, that does all of the major initiatives and all of the upgrades for us. They're not full time, we contract them.
Maybe one more?
So it sounded like the fact that WordPress is free is important to all of you guys, and I was just curious to know what your attitude or take is for paid plugins versus plugins. Sounds like plugins are an important part of the business, sometimes a frustrating part. Are you willing to pay for plugins? Why?
I think there is, you know, I feel like there's a certain amount of quality assurance that comes with a paid plugin. A number of free plugins that we've used tend to get bastardized and they don't get upgraded versions and we get stuff. I don't have strong feelings either way. If they're really good, I'm totally willing to pay for it. If they're quality and they do their job, totally.
What's the most you're willing to pay for a plugin? Did you come up with the number? would you pay, I mean, if WordPress have a market where you're going to pay $1,000 for an incredible plugin?
For me, I mean, we, and as you know, use very few plugins, so I would just make the decision, like, if I've got some functionality or if I want, and a plugin can do it, is that plugin going to deliver that functionality? So less than Jake will deliver it, coding it just for us. I would also at this point say that we can't, you know, I mean, from our point of view, some of the plugins that Jake has developed, you know, they kind of primarily came out of work that we were paying for. But my approach to the community is, you know, we've made use of some of these things, so as a business, why would we care if other businesses would benefit from functionality that originally or mostly was coded for us? But, you know, if you're going to have to pay a developer $500 to do something for you and a plugin is going to cost you $100, why wouldn't you buy the plugin? It's saving you $400.
All right, we're going to wrap up. Before we do that, I want to ask just one more question to each panelist, which is sort of frame this as group mentoring. If you could give, without, you know, hope not putting you on the spot too much to say, but if you could give one piece of advice, having done this, to an entrepreneur who wants to do this again, what would that piece of advice be? And I'm putting you on the spot, whoever comes up with something first, let's speak up.
I think what I said earlier, I think it's great in a very fast and formal way to get up and running, but I feel like find somebody that thoroughly understands it and takes the time to get to know your business. Whether it's a firm or an individual freelancer that does this on the side, they're out there too, obviously, and find somebody that knows what they're doing to work with them.
From my perspective, I think the best advice I could give is know your business, know what you're looking to accomplish and your vision and your time frame, and, you know, understand exactly what you want, and then I totally agree, find a developer, find a professional who can bring that vision and make it lifelike. Don't focus on things that you don't know how to do. I don't know how to code. I don't know how to build sites and write in HTML. And I don't focus on it. And thankfully, we found a team that knows how to do it. So let people who are experts deal with the things you don't know, but know what your business is and what your goals are.
It's really similar advice. Well, I mean, the first one is, you know, just making the decision to use WordPress, and wait, anyone find deciding it is very good. But then, you know, have a really clear vision of what you want to do. Don't kind of just end up looking like every WordPress site out there doing all the same things, because that's not really the way to stand out or seem interesting. And find a developer like Jake Coleman. Find a developer who can just do stuff in really clever, elegant ways to build the site and take your business to that.
All right, thank you guys for your time.